Our next guest actually thinks he could give you a tennis lesson, even though he can't. Paul Plakas joins us now. Plakas, how are you doing?
Greg, I'm doing fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're still riding the high of winning your first ever tennis doubles match?
Yeah, we were smoking it around pretty good last night. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Well, it's the first time you played in the senior division. So.
Yeah, getting up there, huh? That's good.
A few things to discuss today. One of the areas that many of us, when we're working out, when you're younger, you want to look buff and everything like that, but we kind of overlook the core, and really, like the term the core, everybody says work the core, but really, what is the core? Let's start there.
Yeah, I guess the basic definition of it is really the muscular structure, the fascia around the midsection of your trunk. So it's like your deep abdominal muscle fibers called the transverse abdominis. It's like your external and internal obliques. It's like your pelvic floor as well. It's kind of like a box of muscle and fascia that when they tighten and cinch, they give your lower spine something called hoop tension. And it's like sort of tension so that you have stability that your arms and your legs can then do aggressive work. So that when you're stable in your trunk, all of a sudden your arms are more explosive, your legs are more explosive, you can move more quickly and aggressively, lift more weight, that kind of thing. It also helps protect the back when there's a torque and stress is imposed upon it. So when you're deadlifting, it's good to have a strong core because you have more spinal stability, which will allow you to handle more load without putting more stress on the lower back. So it's good for preventing injury too.
And it's something that a lot of people forget to engage before they're lifting or during their lifting.
Yeah, it's good to teach people at the beginning, you know, how to, you know, engage it and how to cinch up the lower area without having excessive lumbar extension. So sometimes people think they like it's like sucking in their gut. It's not really like sucking in your gut. It's like cinching it like somebody's about to punch you. One of the good things Pilates does is that they teach you to develop that sort of mind-muscle connection and to engage your, they call it the powerhouse, while you're lying on the ground. So that's a nice way to teach how to learn how to do it because you keep everything else out of it. But eventually, it's not something you want to actually think about in engaging and cinching because you're not going to be thinking about that when you're playing sports and aggressive activity. It should just happen naturally once your body gets used to doing it all the time. Okay, yeah, when you're playing hockey and football, you're not thinking about engaging your core as you're about to rush up for the quarterback or leap to get the ball. It should just happen naturally in a well-trained athlete.
Interesting that, you know, you're right, as your body functions, but the much with the core is you have to set your lats at the same time, do you not?
Yeah, so in lots of exercises, like, for example, when you do a squat, when you do a deadlift, that kind of thing, engaging those muscles, like you said, with the upper back and with the hips, too, help provide, again, more stability to that area because everything's torquing on your hips and on your back. So, yeah, engaging your lats and your shoulder blades down and together, cinching your abdominals, engaging the lateral hips by pushing out a little bit. All that together can, again, provide you that great extra stability in that trunk area so that when you are lifting heavy loads or doing aggressive plyometric work, that your body can do it efficiently with power and without injury.
Spinal stability and movement, you know, spinal stability, Paul, like that's obviously what the core is going to help, right? If you have a strong core and you're lifting, you're likely not putting as much strain on your back, so people won't have back injuries if their core is strong, or at least that's the theory.
Yeah, exactly. Like if you can add, like your lower back is sort of the vulnerable, sort of area for a lot of exercises. So the more muscle groups you can have assisting to help stabilize that back, you know, that you distribute the workload over more muscle groups, less stress is put onto one area. So depending on the type of movement that you're doing, if you can focus on good, efficient movement, so whether it's like a sprint, a jump, a deadlift, a squat, as long as you focus on doing excellent movement patterns where you are distributing the workload from the ankle, knee, hip, engaging the abdominals, whatever your upper arms are doing. If you can do that efficiently, then you're less likely to hurt yourself. The core muscle groups will engage, and you're going to do something that's going to be powerful without injury. Other things, you know, that could prevent you from having good core stability or lower back pain could be your diet too. So if you have a lot of foods that you're eating that maybe cause you having a lot of bloating or abdominal pain, diarrhea, that kind of stuff, they say if you have a lot of pain in your intestines and your stomach, from they say you're allergic to something, you're not digesting things properly, you're eating a shitty diet, then you can't really engage those deep abdominal muscle fibers very well, or your pelvic floor, because there's pain in the area and your body tries to avert pain and go away from it. So muscles might not be engaged because of pain in that area because of your diet. So you have to look at that too. It's sort of a well wholeness sort of kind of thing you want to look at.
Well, Black is from Custom Fit joins us. That's definitely an interesting one. The other one is, you know, a lot of people might know how to engage their core the first time, but then once you exhale, all of a sudden, you know, you kind of lose it. Any tips or tricks on how to maintain your core during lifting?
Yeah, so when you are, you definitely have to breathe, so that's very important. So the key really is to have good diaphragmatic breathing. So that's something that basically you don't want to be like a chest breather. You want to try to inhale and exhale laterally through your ribs. It takes a little bit of a practice. So I would start, you know, lifting with lighter loads, trying to, you know, get good deep breathing patterns in sync with the load that you're lifting, and not try to sort of have your chest heave up and down. So trying to exhale so that your rib cage is expanding laterally and you have good lifting of your diaphragm. So it's a breathing pattern that you can practice with a trainer, with anybody who coaches, you know, like the Pilates instructors are really good engaging the powerhouse with good diaphragmatic breathing, learning that technique and then trying to do it multiple times in your workouts, and then eventually, hopefully, it becomes second nature, because again, when it comes to competition, it's not something you want to be thinking about. You want to be thinking about what's going on in the action of the play rather than what's going on in your trunk. So it just takes repetition after repetition so that it's ingrained in your nervous system and your muscular system.
When you do exercises that are specific to the core, now I know that obviously if you're going to deadlift properly and squat, you're still engaging your core, of course, right?
Sure.
But you know, you can do some movements like the obliques, for instance, which is obviously kind of the side of your core.
Yeah.
What do you recommend for good oblique training?
Yeah, that's another thing that's kind of an interesting concept in the theory of core training, is that should we even be isolating the core when doing exercise, or is it better to engage those muscles and make it more functional just doing heavy lifting? So that's kind of where things are happening, is instead of doing oblique work or, you know, deep abdominal firing fiber work, it just making sure you have good spinal stability and good movement patterns and lifting a heavy enough load in your squats, in your deadlifts, in your overhead presses, in your barbell rows, those muscles are going to work automatically. So a lot of people are now veering away from doing direct oblique work and just planks and a sort of core specific activation work, and just integrating it with the regular exercises. Of course, if you have a deficiency in the inability to activate those muscle groups, then that's something, yeah, you might need to isolate. But once you get good at it, you don't really need to train it in isolation anymore. Just train it with your heavy lifts.
Who are you taking on in your next tennis match?
I think I was talking to you about, like, I'm getting good enough now to maybe taking on a pro female. So I think I can take a game off of Serena Williams. Maybe now even two games, I think.
Oh, my.
So if she ever comes into town and wants to go on your show, tell her you got a guy that's chatting it up.
I would pay her to smack the ball all around you.
With my serve, I think I can hold on to serve a couple times. I guarantee it.
Oh, jeez.
Set it up. You got the contacts.
Is this Strudwick on the other end right now? Holy cow. Wow. I would set it up.
Nice.
Oh, that'd be hilarious. All right, Plakas. Well, congrats on winning on the senior tour. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.